AM all across eastern Iowa and online at KGYMradio.com. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Jeff Downing, our associate producer, sitting with us on the other side of the glass this afternoon. We'll hear from Jeff in a little bit because it's Thursday, and that means another round of Woodja. Speaking of rounds, we have a complimentary foursome, including golf cart and range balls, to the Amana Colonies Golf Course. We've got to give that away sometime before 7 o'clock tonight as well. An extremely busy evening here on May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day to those of you out there. And if you're just joining us, or if you have not heard the news earlier today, about 3:30, the jury returned its verdict in the Jane Meyer trial in Des Moines. Meyer, the former number two in charge of the Iowa Athletic Department, she had five claims against the University of Iowa based on her firing, claiming that it was discriminatory, not only because she was a woman, but she was also because she was a gay woman. And the jury, five women, three men, came back after about 8 hours of deliberation. They started yesterday. They finished up today shortly before 3:30. And the jury agreed with her and her attorneys on all five of those claims. The University of Iowa will now write a $1.4 million check to Jane Meyer. And this is not the last that we have heard of this. There's still going to be a trial involving her partner, Tracy Griesbaum, who's the former field hockey coach at Iowa. And who knows where this goes from here. But certainly a very fascinating day for the University of Iowa Athletic Department and those of us who cover it and talk about it for a living. And it's one that I have said from the beginning, and I am not a huge fan of patting myself on the back, but I was one of the very few people the day after, because that's when people really started to raise the stink, but this goes back to Tracy Griesbaum being fired. And I said that this was going to come back on the University of Iowa, that this was going to be a much bigger story than most people recognized it as at the time. Very few people were writing about it. Very few people were talking about it. I tried to bring it up here in the building, and no one's going to care about that. It's field hockey. Well, sometimes things are bigger than field hockey, and this thing wound up mushrooming up. Now, Griesbaum's trial is still coming up, but if you're her, you've got to feel very good about your chances. And again, if you're the University of Iowa, you're reeling a little bit today.
You're in damage
control
at this point.
Because they thought they were going to win this. They really did.
They did.
And what it comes down to is Jane Meyer against Gary Barta, Jane Meyer versus Gary Barta. And again, I've been very upfront about this from the get-go. I've got my own biases with this case, as does pretty much everybody who works in the media in Eastern Iowa who covers the Hawkeyes and ever had any interaction with Jane Meyer. The next time I see Jane Meyer smile, and she may be doing it today, I think will be the first time that I ever see her smile in the presence of members of the media. She was not very kind to any of us, but that doesn't mean that she didn't deserve to have her day in court. And as we know, when you put anything in front of a jury in this country, all bets are off. And these were eight impartial jurors, five women, three men. It took them 8 hours. It's not like they walked out Grandpa Simpson style, walked in, walked out, came in and said, verdict returned. They deliberated for 8 hours and the better part of 2 days, and then came back and said she made her case, or more apropos, her attorneys made her case.
I think the point that you just made is the important one. A lot of the people that we were talking to and hearing from about this case, I didn't think she was going to win. I thought she had a chance. I didn't think she was going to win. But a lot of people that said that she had no chance were the people that we've come across. I've never had any interactions with her, but I can say very firmly that I have never met anybody who has claimed to like the woman. So based on what I was hearing, oh, well, she has no case. Those aren't the people that are going to be making the decision. And that's what we saw. And we saw, like you said, eight impartial jurors making the decisions, and they thought she was a sympathetic figure. They liked what she had to say, or they at least thought that she had a case against the university and ruled in favor of her on all five counts. Now, you brought up the Tracy Griesbaum suit that's going to be possibly going to trial here in the coming months. If I'm the University of Iowa, I was looking at this case right here in the sense that I had all, like you said, the star power. I had every coach that I could put up there on speaking on my behalf. You're not going to be able to say that same thing about the Tracy Griesbaum case, because we've already seen testimony from other coaches, namely Tom Brands, that has testified that he thought that Tracy Griesbaum ran a, quote, good program. That's going to be the interesting part, because now the University of Iowa will be in the middle of that lawsuit where they're probably even more shorthanded than they were going into this one.
1960 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line asks, is this the end of Gary Barta? And I still don't think it is. And I think even if they wind up on the wrong end of the decision as far as Tracy Griesbaum's trial, and if there's any residual fallout moving forward, more suits, more actions, I still think Gary Barta winds up remaining Iowa's athletic director, but I'm not the one making that call. And it's a gut feeling, just as it was a couple years ago when this story first bubbled to the surface, and I said, this is a big deal. We got to talk about this. And nobody wanted to talk about it. And I'll tell you, I'll be very frank and very honest with you. Most people didn't want to talk about this because it wasn't a popular subject in Iowa City, because it did paint the University of Iowa in a somewhat negative light. And when you deal with Iowa and the athletic department for a living, you want to keep those people happy with you. And so there were a lot of people that were just happy to leave the eggs in the carton and not have to worry about making an omelet, so to speak. If you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you know that that's not my number one concern. Something's going on. I think it's a big story. I think we talk about it. And I think it's, especially if it's something that impacts Iowa and the athletic department, and people are going to be interested in it. But you have to talk about it out in the open in order for people to even know what's going on. And there were a lot of people that were hoping that this stayed, I wouldn't necessarily say hidden, but there were a lot of people in Iowa City, I think, that would have preferred that this be handled behind closed doors. And in November of 2015, when Jane Meyer filed her suit in Polk County, that was the domino that led us to this trial. And now today, this verdict at 3:30, she's getting $1.4 million. And again, I choose to look at this through the prism of, this woman wanted to be a Division I athletic director, and it's never going to happen for her. So there's the old adage, money can't buy happiness. And I think it comes into play here from a couple angles, because it's not going to make her any happier than she presently is, which, again, knowing her,
I bet she's pretty around happy her, right now.
Money can't buy you happiness, and it sure as hell can't buy you a Division I athletic director's job. Now, what I do find interesting about all of this is that Iowa, in an effort to rid itself of Jane Meyer, may have ultimately wound up hurting its own case. And what I mean by that is, one of the points of testimony of Jane Meyer's was all of these glowing reviews,
yes,
that she got it from the athletic department. And look, if you want somebody to move on to greener pastures and take a job elsewhere,
you give her great reviews.
By giving good reviews, you're helping move that along, because if you give bad reviews and a future employer calls, I'll say Illinois State as an example, because she was a finalist for the Illinois State job a couple years ago before any of this blew up. no one's hiring her if she's got bad marks on her. So, speculating here, in theory, even if they wanted her gone, you say nice things about her because any future employer that comes along is going to be reading those reviews and they're not going to hire her if the reviews are bad. My own theory on this, nobody else's words, but those positive reviews, which may have been intended to help her get a job elsewhere, because we see this all the time, especially in sports, in pro sports, where you take someone who's trouble in your clubhouse and you move them to another team.
He's great in the clubhouse.
And you wash your hands of it. You go, thank God Milton Bradley's not here anymore. Just a speculative thought there on my part. Now, that was certainly a major part of her case, is that she had all of these positive, glowing reviews. And then, quite frankly, the timeline works against Iowa here. And that's where you bring in Griesbaum's firing and the decision to get Jane Meyer out of the athletic department and reassign her elsewhere. And when some of these decisions were made, if I'm impartial, if I don't know anything about this case and you plop me onto that jury panel, and I know circumstantial evidence and drawing your own conclusions, and they say don't do it, but I guarantee you jurors do it all the time. If you dropped me into that panel and I didn't know anything about what was going on, and I start looking at, okay, when was she fired, and when did she complain about this, and when was she reassigned, some of the timing doesn't necessarily look all that great for Iowa. Now, this is really interesting moving forward for the athletic department, because now what do you do if you're Gary Barta and you've got a female coach? I don't care whether she's gay or straight, and that's a whole nother aspect of this trial that I know most people don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, because anytime you start talking about that and social issues, then people get really leery because it's kind of controversial. We'll leave that out of this. What happens the next time Gary Barta should, for cause, fire a female coach because their program's not winning, because a change needs to be made? He's not going to be able to do it. His hands are tied. And if he does it, then all holy hell is going to get raised again. This is Gary Barta's biggest problem moving forward, is now he's going to find it, I think, a little bit difficult to run his department the way that he wants to run things. And the whole male coaches versus female coaches dynamic. And Gary Barta has done some things at Iowa as athletic director that I have not necessarily been a fan of. And Gail Blevins's exit from the softball program has completely detonated in the athletic department's face. And there were instances, reasons behind her exit that aren't exactly great. Anytime a Hall of Fame coach like Gail Blevins says, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And again, a lot of that had to do with parents of players trying to go the route of complaining about the coach to the athletic department. And therein lies the rub. Another part of Jane Meyer's stance and strategy was to point out other instances where complaints were made against male coaches. I know a male gymnastics coach was one of those instances, and there was at least one more instance where complaints were made against male coaches, and they were sort of dropped. I think Bon Szymanski, the volleyball coach, may have been mentioned there as well. And so, again, if I'm an impartial observer on this jury, I think her attorneys did a very good job of making the case, look, male coach, no action. Male coach, no action. And that's why the defense attorneys for Iowa said, look, wait a minute, time out. we're not trying the Tracy Griesbaum case. And that decision, it has nothing to do with what's going on. Unfortunately here, it did have something to do with it. And her attorneys, her legal team, did an excellent job of forcing this into the discussion. Because it is two separate trials. Now, they're not done, right?
Yeah, it's Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register is reporting that Meyer's attorneys say that they are planning to sue for $2 million more and an investigation into the athletic department.
Okay. Hearing that now they're pushing forward and wanting more money and an investigation into the athletic department, if I'm Gary Barta, maybe I'm getting a little bit nervous. If it's just $1.4 million and I'm writing a check, okay. And I still don't know where the money comes from. I'm assuming the university has a fund that it pays legal settlements out of, but with this involving the athletic department and how the athletic department is sort of its own entity, like it's like Vatican City on the University of Iowa campus. It's got its own budget and all of that good stuff and its own fundraising. I don't know. I don't have the answer for people on the text line who are wondering where the money comes from. But it's coming from somewhere, and it's going to Jane Meyer. Maybe they Venmo it to her. Or PayPal. Which would be rather interesting, because I don't think you would make the claim that it was to friends and family at that point, where you wouldn't have to pay fees on it. Maybe they give her a big, oversized Publishers Clearinghouse-style check. I don't know.
Like when you get at a golf tournament or something like that.
I would hate to be the low-level intern that has to be the courier to drop off the check on that particular day.
So that changes something for you.
It does to a certain extent. I still think Gary Barta makes it out of this, but he makes it out of it with a couple broken bones and a black eye and maybe a punctured lung, and you're wondering, okay, how long is he going to hang on here? Look, I don't think anybody in the Iowa Athletic Department's happy about the way that this has played out. And Jane Meyer's not happy about the fact that she doesn't have a career anymore. And whether or not she truly can't get hired at Lowe's or the Home Depot, which how would you like to be going and needing to pick up some lumber for a home improvement project and you come across Jane? She's not working anywhere where they claim to have a helpful smile in every aisle, so
no.
that's probably good for her. I got a message, and I'm not going to say who it's from, but it's from somebody that worked with Jane Meyer. And I can say worked with because she's the one who's not there anymore. So this could be a current or former coworker of hers, someone who's either at Iowa or not at Iowa. And as a matter of fact, I got two messages, but this one in particular says, I can't believe this stuff. I'm editing here to try to keep the person as anonymous as possible. I can't believe this stuff. They have a written complaint that they gave to Gary Barta about her over an incident involving the two. And it says, this is absolutely sickening. She was a terrible administrator. Now, again, someone out there is going to hear that and they're going to go, someone else is bringing their own bias to the table. But I'm telling you, there are a ton of these stories. And at the end of the day, none of it mattered because the jury did what it was supposed to do and it looked at the facts as it was presented in this case. And look, maybe Iowa legally, all these legal experts talking to me on Twitter and whatnot, maybe Iowa legally had the better case. But her legal team did a better job of selling the case. And in this day and age, that's what it comes down to. It's 25 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. We've got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update to get to. Plus, it is Thursday, and that means another edition of Woodja. Brian Ferentz made some rather interesting comments on the Hawk Central podcast on KXNO last night as well. That would have been the top story of the day had the Jane Meyer verdict not come back in. So we've got plenty to get to as we reach the halfway point of the program tonight. Don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by the Fieldhouse on First Avenue Northeast, across from Bed Bath & Beyond and next to Copyworks. So far, one of the biggest differences between last year's World Series winner and the 2017 Cubs has been the performance of the bullpen. What was expected to be a possible weakness for manager Joe Maddon has turned into a strength, and nowhere is that more clear than in the ninth inning with closer Wade Davis.
You can see his body of work so far has been outstanding. It's just the way he is also. I think the other guys gain a lot of confidence from watching him do his work and how he does it. But having that guy at the end of the game, again, that's right, permits you to juggle a little bit prior to that. Now, there's going to be, hopefully we keep winning, you know, games, and if they're close, he's going to have to pitch too many days in a row. Somebody's going to have to get a day off, going to have to do it differently. But while he's available, he makes them all better.
Davis, who pitched for Maddon in Tampa Bay, was acquired during the offseason in a trade with Kansas City. He came on in the ninth inning last night and closed out the Cubs' 5-4 win over the Phillies.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Back to the Todd Bromelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
What would you do with $1.4 million? I think it's a fair question coming up on Would You today.
Which I wouldn't work at the Home Depot.
I don't know if I would be working here if I had $1.4 million.
Not
although
that there's anything wrong with either of those
that
places.
That would require solid financial management and good fiscal planning. And I've never been accused of either one of those things. I would probably throw the biggest party that Eastern Iowa has ever seen. And then at the end of the day, like Montgomery Brewster in Brewster's Millions, my accountant would come to me and ask me, what was I thinking? 319-366-1600. And speaking of, I'm thinking about bringing you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The major news of the day is shortly after 3:30 today, the 8-person jury in the Jane Meyer trial against the University of Iowa did return its sealed verdict. Even though the verdict was sealed, the news got out rather quickly because Jane Meyer's legal team celebrating the fact that she was awarded $1.4 million as the jury sided with her on all 5 of her claims regarding discrimination against Iowa. The Big Ten is set to begin conference basketball games this upcoming season during the first week of December. The schedule change necessitated, according to a report by NBC Sports Today, because the Big Ten is holding its conference tournament at New York City's Madison Square Garden, and they need to move the schedule up a week in order to accommodate the Big East conference tourney. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat the Lake County Captains 6-3 last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Tyler Beardsley improved to 3-1 on the year. He worked 7 innings of 5-hit baseball. Waterloo native Michael Letkowitz pitched a scoreless inning for the Captains. He walked 1 while lowering his ERA to 2.61 on the year. Colonels go for the 3-game sweep tonight at 6:35. And the Iowa golf team is headed to a regional for the 9th consecutive season. The Hawkeyes have been chosen to participate in the Baton Rouge Regional that'll be hosted by LSU beginning May 15th. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, and we will continue to take your calls and texts leading up until 7 o'clock tonight. We'll have more, including hearing what it was that Brian Ferentz said that has some people up in arms today as well. The TB show continues after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need at their next CPAP, BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Honey, you're snoring. snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. There's an NBA playoff doubleheader tonight starting at 8 Eastern on ESPN. First, Game 3 for the Celtics and Wizards in Washington, with Boston leading 2-0. Then it's Game 2 for the Warriors and Jazz in Oakland. Golden State won Game 1 in that series. Jazz guard George Hill is out tonight with a sore left big toe. Spurs point guard Tony Parker will miss the rest of the playoffs with a ruptured left quad. Raptors guard Kyle Lowry questionable for Game 3 against the Cavaliers with a sprained left ankle. Game 3 is tomorrow night in Toronto. From baseball, Red Sox knuckleballer Steven Wright will miss the rest of the season with a left knee injury. Boston today also puts infielder Marco Hernandez on the DL with a left shoulder injury. Baseball right now going to the 13th inning at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Phillies and Cubs are tied at 4. Ninth inning in San Diego, Rockies and Padres are tied at 2. Joey Logano's NASCAR win at Richmond Sunday won't get him into the playoffs. An illegal suspension costs him 25 points.
Hey guys, listen up. Next week is OSHA's safety stand down, and we've teamed up with Werner to take a time out to learn about ladder and fall protection safety. Remember, falls are preventable. Go to WernerStandDown.com to learn more. The older you get, the busier life becomes. What used to be a simple trip to mom's for Mother's Day isn't so easy anymore. While there's no substitute for watching mom light up when she sees you, with 1-800-Flowers.com, you can still show her you care. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is giving listeners an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only a dollar per rose. Simply pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. With a beautiful mix of roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to surprise all of the moms in your life. Premium roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness and mom's amazement. 24 multicolored roses for only $24 is an amazing offer, but it expires Friday. Don't miss the opportunity to show mom just how much you miss her with 1-800-Flowers.com. To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for only $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Ryan. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Ryan. Hurry, offer ends Friday.
It's time for breakfast at Burger King.
Remember at Burger King, I got the 3 for 89-cent pancake deal?
Yeah.
I tried to take one.
But they're 89 cents.
Yeah.
You could spare one.
I understand, but you know what I said.
Well, you said respect the stack.
And did you?
No, because I like pancakes.
Respect that stack. Get 3 pancakes for just 89 cents. That's 3 fluffy golden pancakes for 89 cents now at Burger King. Here's another great breakfast deal. 2 croissant sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time at participating Burger King restaurants.
Guess how many Americans are disgruntled employees? More than half. Maybe they're like Jason, who worked third shift scraping maggots out of garbage trucks wearing a hazmat suit. Then Jason went to My Computer Career and ditched that hazmat suit for an IT career in less than 6 months. So if you're disgruntled, go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet just twice a week on campus or live online. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
AutoZone presents Seeing Clearly. Whether it's 6,000 miles, 6 months, or 6 kinds of harsh weather, Rain-X Quantum Wiper Blades are tough enough for whatever the forecast calls for. And right now, buy 2 Rain-X Quantum Wiper Blades and get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
This is Bill's yard, and Bill's a grill master, not a grass expert. Still, he won't let weeds invade his backyard barbecue kingdom. And with Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, Bill's greasy thumb is just as good as a green thumb. Because Scott's Weed Grip formula is twice as effective on dandelions as it used to be. so Bill can clear out weeds, green up his lawn, and hold his spatula high. This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up Scotts Weed and Feed today.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My List that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
Guys, get to JCPenney's Love Mom Sale going on now and treat her to some sparkle and shine this Mother's Day. Get up to 70% off fine jewelry after an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Or get $10 off when you spend $25 or more with your coupon on select items throughout the store and at JCP.com. Mom deserves the best. So hurry. The Love Mom Sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 5-4 to 5-9. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Some exclusions apply. See store or JCP.com for details.
Back to the Todd Bravo Cam Show right here on KGYM.
It's 5:37 on the Todd Bravo Cam Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa and online at KGYMradio.com. We have a foursome of golf at the Amana Colonies Golf Course to give away, but we can't do that yet because Jeff Downing, our associate producer, is joining us here in the studio for our weekly segment on Thursdays that we like to call Would You? So I guess sometime in hour number three tonight, we'll make people wait. I'm a jerk. We'll make you wait for the free golf. That's a foursome of golf. The golf carts, and also some practice balls to hit on the range as well. Very nice package. And Alex, they've got their best shot coming up later on in the month on Sunday the 21st. So
now, Jeff, this is finally golf weather, right?
Yeah, we were busy today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure because I know Mark Dukes has the 50-degree rule, or maybe it's 55 or 60, that he won't golf unless it's over a certain temperature.
Well, we were 37 when I went in at 6:30 this morning, a little frosty, so we had a delay. But otherwise, about 8:30, started rolling in this morning. Foursomes had a party of eight. We came in later on this morning, so busy day. And a couple high school meets, leagues. Yep, things are rolling now.
Now, we don't have an intro for Would You yet, and I'm sure we'll get one, but I don't know how to start it. Should I just throw it over to you like Scott does during the pick six and say we have the czar of Would You?
Well, I'm not really the czar of anything these days, but yeah, we'll get an intro for it. See, the way that I'm approaching this is until we've got the third wheel officially on board, this is sort of in the beta testing stage of the Todd Brummelkamp Show. So I've got until then to have everything done the way that I want it.
It's almost there.
So we're getting there. Like today, the sweeper that brings us in and out of breaks, which is the cantina music from Star Wars.
Okay. Which, I didn't know what that was. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you. I was going to talk to you about Star Wars today.
Thank you for not.
And then we actually had something that people might find interesting happen, which I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't even know who Jane Meyer is, and they would rather want to talk about Star Wars and Han Solo and Wookiees and all of that good
Brian
stuff.
Brian Ferentz.
Not happening. We'll get to that. So we don't have any intro for Would You? So Jeff, I'm going to throw things over to you. You've got five of them in front of you. If you're just joining us, maybe you've never heard this segment before on the program. It's wildly unpopular with the host of the show, but it's ingrained now into the show's DNA. It's called Would You? You ask five questions, Alex and I give you our answers. So without any further ado,
with the cold intro,
let's go get this thing kicked off.
Number one, Todd, we'll start with you. Would you be concerned about your job if you were Gary Barta today?
I wouldn't have been, and I've said this all along, until the Chad Leistico tweet about Jane Meyer's attorney trying to get another $2 million out of the school and pushing for a formal investigation of the athletic department. Now, I still think that he survives this, but the question is, if I were Gary Barta, would I be worried? And it would be in the back of my mind. There's no doubt about it. Now, I go at this like Johnny Paycheck, former country music singer, always had a saying about driving fast enough so that when you went into the ditch, you came out on the other end and you were still going. Not good advice for what he was probably talking about, but if I'm Gary Barta, man, you've got to continue to put your foot to the floor and go at this thing, because if you let up and the athletic department lets up, then things go from bad to worse. So would I be concerned? To a certain extent, yes, but now that this is very clearly not over from Jane Meyer's standpoint, and you've still got the Tracy Griesbaum trial, which is looming on the horizon, and who knows what else is going to percolate from this. Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Not only am I nervous about my job as far as the Tracy Griesbaum suit being settled, or either being settled or brought to trial in the next couple months, or what happened today, but I'm now concerned about how am I going to do my job effectively. If I have to fire a female coach that is based on performance and is justified, am I going to be able to do that? No. And it's now going to hinder what he can do on a daily basis, because he's constantly going to be looking over his shoulder and constantly going to be able to say, how is the public and how is the media going to react to that? It's going to be a daily public relations struggle. So not only from the sense of what's happened, but from the sense of my daily job as athletic director, if I'm Gary Barta, I'm terrified right now.
Moving on, number two, Alex, would you be happy about playing Big Ten games in early December if you were Coach Fran McCaffrey?
Yes, I always was a little bit down on college basketball and their non-conference. All these people want to talk about football teams playing three or four non-conference games against opponents who aren't the best. Well, college basketball does it every single year, and there's 13 games or however many games there are. So this just takes away a few of those, or you start the season earlier. But I would be comfortable with, if I'm Fran McCaffrey, playing those games in what might not be a huge spotlight, because football season will be in its championship game stage. But from a Big Ten standpoint, I don't think it's a good thing for the conference. But from Fran McCaffrey's standpoint and the Iowa basketball team, I'd feel comfortable with it.
No, not at all. If I'm Fran McCaffrey, how do you get the team ready to play a Purdue or a Wisconsin in late November, early December, when you probably have an exempt tournament that you're coming off of around Thanksgiving? You've got Iowa State usually on the horizon somewhere in that middle of December period. Plus, you've got all of these godforsaken non-conference games against North Dakota and who knows what directional school and Coppin State. And how do you go from playing Wisconsin to getting your guys to go all in and pay attention to Coppin State? I'm not a fan of this. I don't like it in football when you play non-conference games in week 10 or week 11 like the SEC does during its homecoming weeks. And I think coaches probably are not a huge fan of this. Now, the hope is that this is just a one-year thing, because the Big Ten is playing its conference tournament at Madison Square Garden, and that's why they're changing the schedule. Someone on the text line earlier said, why not just play at the Barclays Center, where the Nets
Atlantic
play?
The Atlantic 10, yep.
Because the Barclays Center is not Madison Square Garden. The Big Ten wants to play at the mecca of college basketball, Madison Square Garden. That's why they're doing it. And because the Big East tourney, they have to play the week before in order to make that happen, and then they have to rearrange the entire schedule. But good luck going from playing Michigan State or Rutgers. I guess it could be the other direction, but good luck going from that to then getting ready to play Nebraska-Omaha, which, on second thought, okay, what's next?
All right, number three, Todd, we'll start with you. Would you still take the Bulls gig, knowing what you do today, if you were Coach Fred Hoiberg?
So Fred Hoiberg, and I cribbed this from our good friend Brent Bloom at CycloneFanatic.com, because Brent said that he thinks Hoiberg, even if he had been able to see into the future 2 years ago, with all of the drama and the potholes and everything that he's encountered so far, he still thinks Hoiberg takes the job. And you know what? I do too, because he wasn't a fan of the college game and he didn't like recruiting a whole lot and he wanted to get in the league and he's friends with Gar Foreman and John Paxson. I still think he takes this job 2 years ago, even knowing what we know now about the present state of the organization and the fact that 2 years in on a five-year deal, he's getting run over, backed up, and run over again by his supposed friends.
I wouldn't touch it. And I think that John Paxson and Gar Foreman are absolutely running this franchise into the ground. And I know we talked to Mike McGraw, who disagrees with that. But let's just take a look at what transpired over the last 4 years with the Chicago Bulls. They got rid of one of their most successful coaches because they couldn't bully him into – he was too tough. They couldn't bully him into resting players. He wanted to do things his way, which was working. He covered up many of the flaws that John Paxson and Gar Foreman caused with some bad free agent acquisitions and some terrible drafting. Tom Thibodeau, of course. And then they bring in a guy who is exactly the opposite of Tom Thibodeau, a guy they're friends with, and he does things the way they want it to be done. They'll run a little bit more up-tempo offense, a little less defensive-minded, but they were going to get younger. They were going to bring in better shooters, and they did exactly the opposite of what they said they were going to do, and they basically said, Fred, here you go. And now, do you think Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo were going to listen to a college coach who had never coached in the NBA, not to mention one of the oldest and worst shooting teams in the NBA? You thought that was going to succeed with the mix of terrible young role players that they have, five terrible backup point guards who I don't think have much of a future as a starter in the NBA. And then, after all of that, for John Paxson and Gar Foreman to have the gall to say, you know what, he needs to become a better leader, to basically setting him up to be the fall guy for their failings. If I would have known how this would transpire, I wouldn't have touched it if I'm Fred Hoiberg.
Number four. Alex, let's stay with you. Would you rather spend $500 on a pair of shoes or have someone pay you $500 to punch you in the face?
Well, I think this has to do with Lonzo Ball.
You think?
Yeah. And his shoe coming out at $495. And if you're asking about those shoes, I would rather have someone pay me $500 to punch me in the face, because I'm getting the money. Yeah, it's going to hurt, but I won't have to deal with those horrible shoes that they're trying to sell in the $220 flip-flops that aren't much better. So I'm not paying $500 for shoes. The max I usually pay $100, $110, especially for those horrible shoes.
Wait until you are in your 30s and you no longer care and you are getting your shoes for $25, $30 in the clearance rack. Trust me on this one. Mm-hmm. I've got to take the punch to earn $500, or I spend $500 of my hard-earned money on shoes that look like they're not even as high quality as Starberry's were.
I don't think even close to that high of quality.
They need to light up. They need the heel light like LA Gears used to have back in the day, or the pump. Maybe they could have taken all the bad ideas from every shoe ever made and turned them into the Lonzo Ball. I want the LeVar Ball kicks. I'm holding out for Dad to have his own line of shoes.
They're going to call them the 2.2s?
This is going to make a oh, damn, Alex. Man, that was good. You know what? This is going to make a lot of people who listen to this program on the regular happy. I would take the punch. Take the punch and give me the $500.
Final one. Todd, how would you honor Jay Cronley tomorrow?
Oh, this is more like a should-ya instead of a would-ya. We need to do something tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby, and we need to recognize the fact that this will be the first time in several years that we are going into a Kentucky Derby without the man that many of our listeners would call the greatest guest that we've ever had on local programming in the 4 to 7 block, Jay Cronley, the author and former columnist for ESPN.com and the Tulsa World Herald. I think I would honor Jay by maybe having a cold one tomorrow at the coach's corner. And then, as Jay would say, let's make some money.
Now, listen, I think that we should, and I should find somebody to help Jay's memory live on this 4-7 block. So I'll find maybe somebody who worked with Jay and maybe covers horse racing so we can, like we talked about yesterday, cover the Kentucky Derby just a little bit. Maybe 10 to 25, maybe 30% of that interview could be about actual horse racing. The other big chunk about Jay Cronley. Other than that, we obviously have to do something. And I think having a mint, do you think they make mint juleps at Coach's Corner?
Maybe, but Jay strikes me as the type of guy that probably drank a brown liquor straight rather than fancy mint juleps. Let's go make some money.
Okay. So we'll
we don't have the Oklahoma City Thunder to talk about right now or anything else that Jay was happy to dive into, but let's make some money. And listen. Let's make some money. I'm going to miss talking about the Kentucky Derby with Jay, and I'm glad that you brought up tomorrow's program before we step aside here really quick, because if you're a baseball fan, I'm very excited to let everybody know that we're going to have on the program tomorrow via the telephone LaTroy Hawkins, the former closer for the Twins, the Cubs. Guy spent 21 years in the major leagues, and he's in town with the Cedar Rapids Colonels as a special assistant to the general manager of the Minnesota Twins, and he's going to join us on the program to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and what he does now and his 21-year career. Basically, there was a point in the late 90s, early 2000s, or mid-2000s to late 2000s that if you needed relief help in the offseason, you brought in LaTroy Hawkins for a year, half a year, whatever it was. He played on a ton of teams, has a ton of knowledge, and I'm looking forward to chatting with him tomorrow on the program. That'll be at 5 o'clock, correct?
That's correct. Okay. And maybe when we come back, I'll quiz you on how many teams LaTroy Hawkins played for.
More or less than Todd Zeal? That will be the question. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continues after this.
When you need help with your garage door, it's a lot easier to ask one person with hands-on experience a few questions than it is to drive over to the big door companies and get passed around until you finally get to speak to the person who can answer your questions. Well, Olinger Garage Door is a small company with dedicated folks who help you from sales to service. They use only the best from North Central brand products. Olinger Garage Doors, based in New Hall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas. Olinger, garagedoors.com.
Optimized lines of sight, check. Easy controls, check. Zero turn, engaged.
Gravely zero turn, pro turn 400, you are cleared for takeoff. Lower your deck and roll.
Roger that, tower.
Gravely zero turn mowers from City Tractor and North Liberty help you fly through mowing, use less fuel, and cover more ground in less time. And let's face it, have some fun too. Your mission starts at locally owned City Tractor, just off the I-380 North Liberty exit and at citytractor.com.
Where you are cleared to landscape.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Friday is Guardians of the Galaxy Night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free t-shirt commemorating the release of the new Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 movie. Visit Colonels.com to get your tickets now for the best party in town. And party at the park with the Cedar Rapids Colonel.
Let the good times roll.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show. We're back. That's what the sweeper says. 319-366-1600. That's the number to call right now if you want to win a foursome of golf as well as the carts and even some practice balls to the Amana Colonies Golf Course. Caller number 6. You're going to win our golf package today. 319-366-1600. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The news of the day, the jury returned its verdict in the Jane Meyer trial shortly after 3:30 this afternoon, and it wasn't good for the University of Iowa. The 8-person jury found on all 5 claims in favor of Jane Meyer. What's that mean? Well, it means $1.4 million. And it also means she could be in line for more money than that because the jury determined that Iowa's actions were, quote, willful. So her back damages can be tripled. Her lawyers will file for that as soon as possible, according to Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register. The Big Ten is set to begin its conference basketball season in the first week of December this upcoming season. The schedule change reported today by NBC Sports was necessitated due to the decision the Big Ten will hold its basketball tournament at Madison Square Garden this season. The Cedar Rapids Colonels beat the Lake County Captains 6-3 last night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Tyler Beardsley improved to 3-1 on the year. He went 7 innings and allowed just 5 hits. Waterloo native Michael Letkowitz pitched a scoreless 7th for the Captains. He walked 1, lowering his ERA to 2.61. Cedar Rapids goes for the sweep tonight at 6:35, and the Iowa golf team heading to the regionals for the 9th consecutive year. They will play in Baton Rouge coming up on May 15th.
Well, we have just a few seconds here before we have to get to a Sports Center update, but I can't wait to get into this these Brian Ferentz comments. That stirred things up for around Iowa.
Brian Ferentz was on KXNO yesterday, the Hawk Central podcast, with Chad Lystico, among others, and made some comments that probably aren't sitting too well north of the border, and especially west of here in Ames today. We will hear those comments and get your thoughts coming up next. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. Many entrepreneurs love the flexibility that comes with owning their own business. Cabbage offers a line of credit of up to $100,000 with the flexibility small businesses need. Apply online or from your phone. You will get a decision in minutes and can use any amount you need when you need it. Cabbage has provided over $2.5 billion in funding to 90,000 small businesses and is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Go to cabbage.com or call 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.